This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station. News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM and CBSChicago.com.
WBBM News Time 10, or it's 12:05, and it's time for the WBBM Noon Business Hour on this Friday, August 4th. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. I'm Chris Kreidel.
And good afternoon. I'm Nick Young. We are in for a fall-like Friday with some clouds this afternoon, a high of just 69 degrees. We'll have a full AccuWeather forecast for you coming up very shortly.
And let's check in with Elisa Parenti on some of the big stories of the day. Elisa?
Well, Chris and Nick, it's remarkable. The Dow once again on track for an eighth record-setting day. It's higher by 38 points right now, or almost 0.2%. And the benchmark is at 22,063. NASDAQ up 6, S&P adding 3. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index is up 0.2%. One reason for the gains, a healthier-than-expected job market. The Labor Department says employers added a surprisingly strong 209,000 jobs in July, led by the largest jump in leisure and hospitality employment in 2 years. Hiring also hit five-month highs in manufacturing and education, as well as in health services. Wall Street's gains have been wobblier than they may look right now, and Disney is one of the culprits. Media companies in general have been drags on Wall Street this week after Time Warner warned about falling TV ad revenue. Today, the latest warning coming from Viacom, which says its channels are losing subscribers. Two stocks of local interest that are seeing big gains, Grubhub up 8.5% on taking over another rival, and Potbelly is higher by almost 6% after saying it's going to have a strategic review of its operations. Back to you, Nick and Chris.
Yes, and we will, of course, be doing more on the jobs and the economy today. We'll be taking a look at that Grubhub story, and also it's Entrepreneur Friday, and we have a very interesting local story for you as well, coming up on the Noon Business Hour.
In fact, we're going to be talking to an entrepreneur who started on the south side of Chicago and now has two locations at Navy Pier. And we're going to be talking about some of the things that job seekers need to know if they're going to get a pretty good job in this economy. And the Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park. This portion of the news is sponsored by Euro Partners. And we've got right now, we've got we're in the 60s at the lakefront.
WBBM Market Watch, the Dow up 42 at this hour, with the NASDAQ ahead 6 and the S&P 500 up 3. WBBM News Time, 12:10.
And the Noon Business Hour continues. The government is out with its jobs reports for last month. Employers added 209,000 positions, far more than expected. Let's talk with Carl Riccadonna, chief U.S. economist at Bloomberg in New York City. Carl, were you surprised by these numbers?
Well, good afternoon. I was not particularly surprised by the job gains. In fact, my team was forecasting an above consensus print. Consensus was looking for something closer to 180,000. And the reason for that is the economy is accelerating into the second half of the year. Now, this is not a dramatic acceleration to growth beyond 3%, which is what the president is aiming for, but rather just a pickup from slightly less than 2% growth in the first half to something that looks to be in line with about 2.5% growth in the second half. Holding everything else equal, faster growth should translate into faster hiring.
U.S. created 209,000 jobs in July. What about wages? Did they also go up?
Wages rose, but not at a faster pace than has been the case for most of this economic cycle. So the key thing that economists are tracking in these jobs reports right now are basically the pace of wage inflation. And we're just not getting that yet, and that signals to policymakers that there still may be slack in the labor market, and therefore there's very little rush for them to push forward on policy normalization.
And I was going to ask Carl, what the underlying reason is for the wage stagnation.
Well, the underlying reason seems to be that there continues to be excess capacity in the labor market. Now, that might be hard to believe when the unemployment rate is in the vicinity of 4.25%, but that has been the case for most of this economic cycle. Mind you, coming out of the Great Recession, we were at an unemployment rate of 10%. So we've had this surplus capacity for most of the past 8 years, and hard to negotiate a pay increase when there's a lot of workers on the sidelines eager to step into your position. That seems to be on the cusp of changing, but we're not quite there yet. I think we'll get more wage pressures towards the end of this year, but it certainly was not evident in July.
Well, we are hearing a warning from former chief of the Fed, Alan Greenspan, that a bond bubble is about to break. Do you see that as well? And what does this mean?
I don't think that we are on the cusp of a bond bubble breaking. We've been in a low interest rate environment for the last several years, really since the Great Recession. Part of that is because the Fed has been actively involved in the market through its quantitative easing. But more importantly is the issue that we are in a relatively slow growth environment of about 2% growth and also a low inflation environment. Now, both of the themes we've touched on in this conversation mean that things are changing slightly, right? We talked about somewhat faster growth in the back half of this year and potentially emerging wage pressures, but not to the degree that we'll need to significantly or substantially reprice the bond market. So, yes, interest rates are moving higher. The Fed is tightening policy. Growth prospects are improving. But this is not happening in a dramatic fashion, which would lead to a volatile repricing of market conditions. I don't think there's a bubble.
Well, Carl, thank you very much for your input today. We appreciate it on the Noon Business Hour. Carl Riccadonna, the chief U.S. economist at Bloomberg in New York. And coming up, one company devours another in the competitive food delivery industry.
An economy of words. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Well, food delivery service Grubhub, based here in Chicago, is gobbling up one of its competitors. It is buying Yelp's Eat 24 service. And we're joined on the Noon Business Hour by Phil Lempert, the founder of SupermarketGuru.com in Los Angeles. Phil, it's good to have you on the program this afternoon, and tell us a little bit about what's going on here.
Sure, Nick. Well, what's interesting to me is that Eat 24 was very ambitious. When they first took over, what they were doing is they had reviews of restaurants and different foods. They had recipes. They had product listings. Obviously, you could order. You could pay. You could track. They would handle delivery. So this was probably the ultimate of what everybody looked at, what the future would be. Well, this deal changes all that. You know, Yelp has now sold Eat 24 to Grubhub, almost $300 million in cash. What's interesting about the deal, though, is they say the deal is only going to be in place for at least 5 years, which, you know, isn't real clear of what that future looks like. So what happens is, you know, Grubhub had 55,000 listings. Eat24 had 15,000 listings. So now you put those two together, they're the monolith that everybody is going to be scared of, both on the restaurant standpoint, because now they have to be part of this, and also from a competitor standpoint, you know, these other competitors, whether it's Uber Eats or Postmates or DoorDash, they're really going to be struggling.
Is this sector going to thrive like this, or is Amazon going to come in and disrupt it?
Amazon is going to disrupt it. There's no question in my mind, Chris. You know, if you look at the Amazon restaurant program, you look at now taking over Whole Foods, having now 461 depots, if you would, around the country to be able to deliver groceries from and prepared foods and from restaurants. You're going to see probably in a year, year and a half from now, it's going to be these two companies that are battling out, Grubhub and Amazon.
Grubhub made a deal with Chicago's Groupon a little earlier this week. Where is Groupon in the whole scene right now? And when it came off, it was like an explosion, but it has kind of wavered over the years.
Well, the problem with Groupon, talking to a lot of restaurateurs, what they did is they obviously gave out these great deals to attract new customers, but the customers that they attracted just went from deal to deal to deal. They never went back, so the restaurant never was able to make money on it. And there's a lot of restaurants that actually went bankrupt by having the deal with Groupon. So for me, you know, it's dead in the water. They should have sold when they had that opportunity. And, you know, people get tired of this. It's too much work. And I think that's the problem that E24 had too. People just wanted to order and get it delivered. They didn't care about the reviews as much and the product listing and the recipes and so on. It's really about keeping it simple and really being able to life hack, if you would, what that process is. And I think that Groupon's model was just, you know, too sophisticated for the restaurateurs and too cumbersome for the customers.
And there's got to be a loyalty factor.
Absolutely. You know, you can give somebody once. That's what we're seeing now with Blue Apron and a lot of the meal kits. People are just going to them and getting the $30 worth of free meals and going to the next one and the next one and the next one, and they're never able to make money.
So are we going to see fewer of these rather than more of these businesses that are delivering and servicing food individually?
Absolutely. You know, keep in mind, you know, a lot of people don't know that Grubhub owns Seamless. They own all menus. They own menu pages. So, yes, we're going to see it have less competition until and if drones actually take place, because food delivery and drones go together, and it's just getting past that whole, you know, creep factor that you're going to order something and then this little wing thing is going to come down or even come to your window. There's a place now in Japan that has drones that deliver to high-rise buildings. So if you live on the 12th floor, for example, the drone just goes to the 12th floor, you open your window, you take your stuff out, and then it flies away.
I do live on a 12th floor, and I look forward to seeing my dinner come flying in.
Okay.
And we know it's coming, right?
Yes. You know, I think that there's some logistics that have to be worked out with the, you know, FAA and people like that. But the biggest, most cumbersome aspect of drones right now is still consumers not feeling safe around them. And I think that that's going to overcome. I mean, they probably felt the same way when Henry Ford, you know, had his first cars on the road.
All right, Phil, I appreciate that. We enjoy having you on the program and getting your expertise. Thank you very much. Phil Lempert, the founder of SupermarketGuru.com. And coming up, we'll take a look at the markets.
WBBM News Time, 12:26. Let's take a look at the markets with Elisa Peretti.
Chris, the Dow continues to climb higher by 40 points to 22,066. NASDAQ up 5, S&P adding 3. We've got a check of the grain markets with Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
We have higher grain prices most of the day. At the moment, September corn up 2 3/4 at 366 1/4. December up 3 at 380 3/4. August beans up 1 3/4, 952 1/4, with November's unchanged at 960 1/2, and September wheat unchanged at 457 3/4. And this is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thanks, Pete. I'm Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Chris Kreidel.
And good afternoon. I'm Nick Young. Coming up on the WBBM Noon Business Hour,
our Entrepreneur Friday report features the expansion of Brown Sugar Bakery from Chicago's South Side to Navy Pier.
And we'll talk about the single skill that is arguably the most valuable if you are looking for a good job.
News we're watching this afternoon, the Trump administration turns up the heat on White House leakers.
And WBBM Business right now, the Dow is ahead 40 points, the NASDAQ up 5, and the S&P 500 ahead 3.
And the Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park. On Wall Street right now, the Dow Industrials are up 42, the NASDAQ up 5.5, S&P 500 up by 3. And we are talking this afternoon with Michael Palumbo, who's founder of Third Millennium Trading here in Chicago, author of the book Calculated Risk. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour, Michael.
Good afternoon, Chris and Nick.
we're really not seeing much jumping around on Wall Street today after these employment numbers came through. What do you think?
Well, the numbers are good, and actually, it's pretty amazing. We've had 82 straight months of job gains, which is the longest in recorded history for the United States, which is an amazing accomplishment. So the numbers are good. They weren't much better than expected, though. So we don't get a big pop in the S&P. Underlying that, there are some really big moves in individual stocks on earnings. So you've got a lot of stocks up and down 10-15%. It's just that the overall index is really not moving much.
We do ask our a number of guests that we talk to, can this rally continue?
You know what? As long as there's enough people that don't believe it, it can continue. There's still plenty of folks out there that can't believe how high we are, and anytime there's enough skepticism, it allows for a rally to continue. Rallies end when everybody is long, when everybody believes that it's just going to keep going up. When there's enough skepticism, you never know. We could still rally here another 5-10% in the next year, because really there hasn't been a whole lot of bad news. I mean, the news that you hear that scares people really is the political stuff, and the markets don't care about that. As long as it doesn't get ridiculously ugly, it's not something that really changes market perception. What markets are worried about are the economics, and right now things are pretty good. I mean, they're great for a lot of people, and the job market is strong, and corporate earnings, which we've just had the second quarter earnings come out, they came out great. I mean, they're just about every sector outperformed what was expected, and the big stocks like Apple, Facebook, they once again crushed their numbers. So if this keeps happening, I don't see how we don't just keep going up.
Well, Mike, you've touched on the performance of some of the stocks. You said there are individual companies with some very good numbers out. Hit on a few of those for us, if you would.
Well, you know, Apple and Facebook both came out and beat strongly, and their stocks jumped another 5-6% after hours when they announced. And it's hard, you know, those are hard to believe, just because how can they keep beating their numbers when they're already earning record profits in their sectors? But the reality is, these are stocks that are basically monopolies. Facebook doesn't have any significant competition for what they do in social media. Apple, their products are by far the best in their spaces. So what's happening is the stocks that are in monopoly situations, they continue to go up because they're just not getting any competition. They've done so well technologically that they're ahead of all of their competitors. So those have been the stocks that have outperformed. They continue to do so, and there's what's driving the market indexes to record highs.
We used to talk about the wall of worry and calculated risk, as a matter of fact, and that made stocks go up. It doesn't look like anybody's too worried these days.
Well, you know, I still think that there's enough worry out there. I know what you're saying, that a lot of people are bullish, but there are a lot of people on the sidelines still, too. And a lot of people are saying we're at record highs, but yet, you know, there are record numbers of people on food stamps. And so there are some negatives out there, and there's just enough. I still think there's a wall of worry. That doesn't mean we can't correct here, because the U.S. market is pricey. I mean, when you compare the U.S. market to other stock markets around the world, we are one of the richest valuations of any nation. But you know what? People pay for quality. The United States is just viewed as a safe place to invest. So could we correct 5-10% here? That certainly could happen. But it would take a catalyst. It would take something to happen that is out of what's expected. And right now, we're not getting any of that.
Alan Greenspan is worried about the bond market.
Well, you know, the bond market, it's been. I'm honestly not sure what Mr. Greenspan's worried about.
He says he expects a broken bubble in the bond markets.
Well, then that obviously he's looking for rates to rise then. And the thing is, again, why? I mean, I'd like to know why he thinks that. The 10-year has been stuck between 2.1% and 2.5% for a year now, and there's no inflation. So, if inflation ticks up, then the bond market will sell off and rates will rise. But we haven't seen it. We're not seeing inflation at levels that we normally would get in a expansionary period. So it's kind of like a weird situation where we have earnings going up, we have stocks going up, but we don't see inflation. And that is, I got to admit, it's abnormal, but that's been the characteristic of this rally the entire time. So, you know, unless things change inflation-wise, bonds are going to stay where they're at.
Always nice to talk to you. Thanks for joining us today, Michael. Michael Palumbo is founder of Third Millennium Trading, author of the book Calculated Risk here in Chicago. And the Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park, also sponsored by Euro Partners and Hilton.com.
Information you can bank on. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
And it is Entrepreneur Friday on the WBBM Noon Business Hour. The motto is one cake at a time. The Brown Sugar Bakery, enjoying the taste of expansion from Chicago's South Side to Navy Pier. We want to welcome to the Noon Business Hour founder and owner Stephanie Hart, the Brown Sugar Bakery here in Chicago. And, well, this is a big time for you, Stephanie. Tell us about your expansion plans.
Oh, it is an exciting time. We've just recently opened up at Navy Pier, and we are putting a third store on the west side of Chicago in the emerging Austin area. So we're excited about cake all over the city. Yay.
We're always interested, Stephanie, in how entrepreneurs get the courage and the means to be able to set up their own. You know, we're making a cake in your kitchen, and now you're at Navy Pier. How did that happen?
Well, one, I'm a little bit crazy. Lots of endurance and pain for not paying bills and getting cars repossessed while the cakes got out. But little by little, we just kind of kept going, and here I am.
Well, this is the lunch hour, of course, and just to go through some of your delicious. If people aren't hungry, they will be now when we hear some of the kinds of cakes that you have created. Tell us a little bit about some of the favorite cakes that you're known for and that people love.
Well, our number one seller is caramel, and it is a rich southern dessert that we serve on yellow cake, and then we stick to kind of like the traditional cakes of our childhood: German chocolate, red velvet, double chocolate, lemon, strawberry. And then I have a lot of fun with flavors from my childhood. Like, one of my favorite cakes is our rainbow sherbet cake. I make an almond joy cake because, you know, of course, we all loved almond joy candy bars. So I get to add a little flavor while I'm staying really with those southern roots. So
what about your Obama cake?
Aha, so Obama is a lot of fun. That is red velvet cake, chocolate cake, and yellow cake, cream cheese frosting, chocolate drizzle, and pecans. And it was sort of like it represented all the colors of the people in America, and chocolate on top with nuts running everything. How you like that?
Yeah, well, that sounds good, and it's all good for the waistline, right?
Absolutely, filled with love.
Stephanie, how would you encourage someone to start out right now? I've got an idea, and how do you first get that first step?
I think you got to look in the mirror. You have to believe in yourself, and then you have to keep believing in yourself, because there'll be more dark days until the light. The light at the end of the tunnel is not a train. It really is the light, and just keep going in that direction. But some days it's going to feel like it's a train coming, and not the light.
Well, congratulations, and we wish you well. It's a wonderful story, Stephanie. Thank you very much for being with us on the Noon Business Hour. Stephanie Hart, the founder and owner of Brown Sugar Bakery here in Chicago. And still to come, it may be the single skill most likely to get you a good-paying job.
A deposit for your future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Even in a strong job market, you need the right skills if you want the highest pay. At the top of many lists right now is computer coding. We're talking with Tom Gimbel, founder and CEO of the LaSalle Network here in Chicago. Tell us about coding. Several decades ago, it was plastics, and now it's coding.
Yeah, well, it's something that kids are learning how to do at a young age, and there's classes in high school and in college, obviously, and there's people that drop out of college and they get jobs as developers and writing code. And it's not always in the IT group. There could be writing code in a marketing team in finance and how they're accessing data and how they're manipulating the data. And it starts with that ability to write code. So to take classes and to know how to do that, I would give it the equivalency of almost being bilingual. You don't have to be bilingual to be successful, but it sure as heck does make you more valuable.
So in this job market, this is something that really is almost required.
Well, you know, it all depends on the position and your abilities. But if you're going up against another candidate and you have that skill set, it does make you more valuable and gives you a leg up. I mean, right now we're in a really tight job market. I mean, unemployment went down again. It's under 5%, and we added another almost 250,000 jobs this month. So the market's really, really healthy, really strong. And if you're going to beat somebody else out and companies are going to want you, the more skills you have, the better. And coding is at the top of the list.
Well, I would think, too, Tom, that given what we know about the advent and the increasing use of robotics and artificial intelligence, these skills are only going to be more valuable as we go through time.
Most definitely. However, the one thing we have to be realistic about is everybody's brain doesn't work the same way. And so not everybody is meant to go to college. Not everybody is meant to write code. Not everybody can be a plumber or a landscaper. And you have to do what your abilities are. But if you have an aptitude for it and you don't take classes, or if you think it's interesting and you don't try to do it, you're definitely limiting yourself on the upside down the road.
So you haven't taken it in college, let's say, or grad school, but you want to do coding. So you said there are classes.
Absolutely. You can audit a class, or you can take a class at almost every university. Community colleges have them as well. So you can do that all day long. And then there's also special certifications you can take in classes to learn how to code. So in every major metropolitan area, and even in rural areas where there's community colleges, there's going to be classes on basic entry-level coding.
Well, we appreciate your input as always, Tom. Thank you very much for joining us on the Noon Business Hour today. Tom Gimbel, the founder and CEO of LaSalle Network here in Chicago. This portion sponsored by Hilton.com. And a reminder, you will find past programs later today, a podcast of this hour at cbschicago.com/audio and play.it. WBBM News Time 12:56 as we check the latest market news now from Elisa Parenti.
Well, Nick, the gains are growing for the blue chips, up 51 points now at 22,077. NASDAQ higher by 9, also an improvement. S&P up 4. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index is gaining 0.1%. And crude oil futures are higher today by 0.2% at $49.35 a barrel. With business at 25 and 55, live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.